Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessee. And Gentry, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Hey, good morning. Good to be back with you guys.
Good to have you back with us. And Gentry, we've got a lot to get to here today with you. I want to start on the Titans and the Falcons. Obviously, the first preseason game of the year for the Titans. Lots of key guys on offense not going to be playing. With all that being said, what are you looking forward to the most? What are you going to be paying the most attention to tonight when it comes to the Titans as they take on the Falcons?
The most attention, probably Logan Woodside. Here's a guy who didn't get a preseason last year, and I tend to think the Titans were pretty fortunate, really, last season to get through, you know, Tannehill was healthy all season, and that never really mattered that they didn't have very much experience in depth behind him. So I think this preseason is really important for Logan Woodside. The Titans seem to be all in with this guy. I mean, they keep running different quarterbacks at him to try to replace him, and they haven't been able to do it. So how well does he play? And if he doesn't play well, you know, how well does the other guy play? You know, what do you do then? Defensively, I think Monty Rice is an interesting one to watch in the middle of the defense. I think he's going to be playing. I think a lot of the rookies are going to be playing a lot. You know, you got him, you got Molden, Rashad Weaver, all these guys. It's interesting to see how productive they are. We're still kind of learning the defense and their roles in it. And I think offensively, you know, Darrington Evans is an interesting one to watch. Maybe the running backs behind him. And, you know, at receiver, is Marcus Johnson still going to be as productive as he seemed to be every day in practice? Because right now he has stood out clearly from that group. Is that going to be the case after tonight's game?
Yeah, we were, you know, kind of going through it earlier, Gentry. And I think the entire starting offensive line, we don't know exactly who the fifth starter is, but, you know, all the main skill guys, like the whole offense is not going to be out there. But a lot of the defense could be, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how long Vrabel goes with some of those guys. Like, I feel like they should have, like, Fulton get a half, you know, get that chemistry going with the whole secondary for a little bit. But, I mean, obviously then you're also risking things. How do you think Vrabel will play that?
Yeah, the thing is you've got so many new guys that are in key spots on that defense. And, yeah, I mean, do you want to put Jackrabbit Jenkins out there for that long, knowing he's going to be your number one corner? But at the same time, you know, you need to develop the chemistry with the rest of the secondary, you know, a guy like Autry up front. I do think you're probably going to see those guys get some snaps, probably not a lot, you know, maybe a series or two, but unlike, you know, some of the key guys on offense, you're not going to see the whole preseason.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Gentry, you came out with a piece yesterday at the Tennessean, and we've tweeted that link out at 102.5 The Game on Twitter regarding Nashville SC, and a lot of interesting things in there, a lot of interesting reactions to it as well. And what you put out on Twitter, quote, Nashville is a lot of things, but right now it is not a soccer city. More appropriately, at least in sports terms, Nashville is a fear of missing out city. That's why a new stadium is so important for Nashville SC. What was it like kind of putting this piece together, the thought process that went behind it, and what have you made of the reaction to this piece as well?
Yeah, you know, we toured the stadium site this week, and it is pretty impressive. It's been amazing how quickly it's come together. You know, they're going to be ready to go and have that stadium for next season, and I think it is going to be something that really changes the perception in the city of that team. I do believe that. I believe a new stadium is going to help a lot, in large part because, and what I mean by fear of missing out, is if you look at the events in Nashville that have just taken off and kind of created this wonderful perception of the support that comes with the city, NFL draft, the Grand Prix this weekend, really well supported. These are big events. These are parties. They're something new. What you haven't seen as much is kind of the staying power to continue to support. For example, with Nashville SC, we saw it on their very first game when you had about 60,000 people show up at Nissan Stadium. Wonderful event. Don Garber, MLS commissioner, said it was one of the best nights in league history. They've continued to get fans, but not you know, to that level, anywhere close to that level. I think the average this season is about 20,000. And, you know, some of that you got to factor in. There were some restrictions with attendance and certainly last season as well. So it's not necessarily, you know, fair to judge it from attendance this soon, but it's just the feel in the city. You guys are on the air. You hear from people. You have a text line. How much does Nashville SC really come up?
Not a lot.
It's not a ton.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's, to me, it has yet to make that progression from a fun thing to do to a team we're going to get really upset if they don't win. And I think the Titans and Preds are there where you do sense that. You know, there's an expectation. And the thing about that is that it's kind of crazy. Nashville SC is great on the field. They're very, very good.
Yeah.
They made the MLS quarterfinals last year, and this year they're competing to be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference.
So, soccer people mad at you, Gentry?
Yeah, you know, the response I got, the people who got upset most at that observation were the people I wasn't aiming it at. You know, like the hardcore supporters on the team. They have very passionate group of fans for that team. They do. And it's, and I wasn't saying, you know, the people I was questioning the interest was certainly not them. You know, there is a lot of interest in that, but I'm talking more from a widespread perspective in the city. You just don't see Nashville SC kind of crack the consciousness of most of the sports fans in the city yet. And again, I think a new stadium will help change that in large part just because, like I said, the kind of the mentality of a big event in Nashville.
Well, Gentry, it's interesting too because, you know, obviously I was here. I remember when the Titans came in. I remember when the Preds came in. And the NFL, I mean, it speaks for itself. It is what it is. Everyone loves the NFL from the start. The Predators, it was more of a gradual process to get to the point where they are now. But even with that, I mean, Nashville is, as you know, a much different city now than it was back then. And quite frankly, there's just a lot of entertainment options out there right now. So how do you think Nashville SC puts themselves in that conversation where they are viewed like the Predators and the Titans, and people or at least more people are living and dying on every result, and they're criticizing coaching decisions. They're rejoicing when wins happen. Do you think it is possible to get to that point that the Predators and the Titans are on right now?
I do. And I do think it's a progression. You know, in the column, I use the example of Atlanta United, and I think maybe it's unfair to compare the two cities just given the size. But if you guys remember, sports fans in Atlanta were criticized for decades for not supporting teams. You know, the Braves would be in the playoffs and there'd be empty seats.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, an MLS team comes in and they're getting 70,000 people at games. It's the thing to do. I used to live in Athens in Georgia, and people, you know, the people I know there will go to Atlanta for a soccer game. Now, I've never heard go to a Falcons game or a Hawks game. So I think it is possible, even though there is kind of the hindrance of, okay, obviously the NFL is the best league for what it has, but the NHL is the best league for what it does too. And even with an international perspective, if a player makes it in the NHL, he's made it. You know, they're very rarely will you see a guy go to Russia or, you know, the Preds wouldn't have to worry about losing a guy to his home country's league. They might lose him to another NHL team. MLS is a lot different. MLS, like, for example, Nashville SC has a player in Hani Mukhtar who is a fantastic talent. And they found this guy from a European club. He's German-born, brought him into the team, and this year he's really becoming the breakout star I think they envisioned. In my opinion, one of the better players in the league. He should have been an all-star, and he wasn't. But I think, you know, you're starting that countdown now. Okay, well, how long until the big European club comes and gets it? And I think it's not a Nashville SC problem. That's an MLS problem. That's something their league deals with that very few other sports leagues in this country do.
Well, I think you just hit on it. Obviously, like, the best, like, American football and the best baseball are in this country, but the best hockey's in North America, the best basketball is here. And people who soccer is their favorite sport, like, if there's someone here, for example, and I think it's a great support group, I think this is a great product, but if you gave someone the the choice, who is a Nashville SC supporter, okay, Nashville SC can win this weekend, or your favorite Premier League team can win this weekend. Which are you taking? You know, I think you'd probably have some people hemming and hawing on that. I mean, that's the challenge. I mean, MLS has come a long way from when it was sort of like retired former stars will kick around for a couple of years, right? I mean, it's gotten much better. But that's still a challenge. And you brought up Atlanta United, Gentry. Okay, so now they're not good. So how many people in Atlanta are mad about it and complaining about it? And or was it just an incredible party, especially that 1 year, that everyone got swept up in, but now you don't have that emotional attachment where you're upset that things have gone the other way? I don't know. I don't know what the discussion is like in Atlanta, but I bet you it's not all that extensive.
At least not right now when we're talking about football training camps and the Georgia Bulldogs.
Right. Timing is also, I mean, it's a problem, right? But I don't know what you do about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Gentry? Yeah, and in Nashville SC's defense, last year was a mess for that.
Right.
When it came to they're having their season delayed, and now when they do start playing, they have no fans there, and they're up against football season. I understand that, you know, and they've been behind the curve there, but you do sense that there is another level of fandom for that team. I just do, and I think the people that are closest to the team are kind of, you know, they're kind of blinded by that because they care so much. So of course, there, you know, when you say people don't care, it's like, well, I care. You know, there are people that view it that way, but there's just not enough from a widespread perspective. They need more people to go out there and experience the games because they're fun.
A very interesting column that you can check out by Gentry Estes at the Tennessean. We've linked that out at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Gentry, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to the column that Gentry has thrown out there. Got some of your thoughts to get to on our streaming platforms and on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Gentry Estes for joining us in the last segment. Lots of reaction yesterday to his column at the Tennessean regarding Nashville SC and their place in the sports landscape here in Nashville. Saw some spiciness on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah. It's a really interesting discussion. I wish Jared would stop blowing me up about how awesome Shiano would have been. Jared, it's a terrible take. Just retire it.
And yet you keep bringing it up.
Well, he keeps texting me. Tell him to stop texting me, Porth. Can you make Jared stop texting me?
Yes, Jared Stillman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, Jared Stillman. Yes, that Jared.
Make him stop.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got a texter that says, I think Gentry is too young to remember when the Preds got here. We're a southern city. It's going to take some time for soccer to catch on. But let's be honest, soccer is not real popular in our country. So I think what Nashville SC has done is pretty remarkable to this point.
I think soccer is pretty popular in our country.
Relatively speaking, it's not. Like, popular to, in what context?
Well, it's popular for playing, and that's come millions of miles since I was a kid. I don't know anybody who played soccer. Again, my playing experience of soccer was 8th grade PE for a couple days. I mean, my kids ditched the balls and bats quickly and went to soccer. And it wasn't because I told them to. There's so many more kids who play the game, and there are a lot of people in this country who watch top soccer, European soccer. That's massively different now than it was 20 years ago, in my opinion, and I think the numbers back me up. So I'm not saying it's more popular than, like, American football, but I would not say soccer as a sport is not popular in this country. I would strongly disagree with that.
Well, I'm not saying it's not popular, but popular as compared to what? It's not football. It's not basketball. So it's not baseball. So what are we talking about in terms of popularity?
Baseball, I mean,
baseball is more popular than soccer in this country.
But it's closer than you might think. And again, 20 years ago, it's not you. Who would even bring that up?
Right.
It's come a long way in a short time.
Yeah, it is. But it's still, in terms of popularity, it's got a long way to go.
But see, but let's also remember, MLS is different than saying soccer.
Correct.
I'd say soccer is very popular in this country.
I'm not willing to go very popular.
I mean,
football is very popular in this country.
Football is
basketball
number one.
Is very popular in this country. Yeah. Soccer is not very popular in this country.
Okay.
I mean, am I wrong about that?
I think you're wrong that soccer is not very popular in this country. I mean, again, it's what are we talking about? We're talking about youth participation in soccer. Is that part of the equation or not?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'll look some stuff up then. I think soccer is quite popular in this country.
I think there's a difference between quite popular and very popular.
Well, it's not American. I'm not saying it's. I mean, it's certainly from a viewing perspective. I mean, nothing is more. I mean, American football is like the top, like 17 of the top 20 television shows every year. That's a completely different category.
Well, that's different too. If you're going to throw in American football when if kids are playing it, because I would have to guess that more kids play soccer than they do football,
right?
Because it's cheaper and it's. Yes. And it's easier.
And when I was a kid, there's no way that was true. There's no way. So that's
sure, but I think
changed
a lot of that is the conversation around football as well. Like, there's a whole lot of people playing flag football because you don't want your 6-year-old taking hits to the head repeatedly out there at practice.
Yeah,
I think a lot of that has more to do with the changes in football than anything else.
Well, but it doesn't have more to do. Again,
don't agree with that at all.
Well, we're of a different age. Robbie, I promise you, there weren't soccer leagues. It was like you'd have to drive somewhere an hour to find a soccer. Now, you live in any community in this country, you can get in a soccer league.
Sure.
It was not the case in the 70s and 80s. So that has nothing to do with the football concussion stuff, which is a much more recent thing. I agree now that's part of the equation. Soccer's very different. I mean, again, in 2005, no one had a Premier League team. Okay, I mean, I have trouble finding people who don't follow that to some extent, at least loosely, if not passionately. Totally different. I mean, this stuff's on TV here now. When did that start? 10 years ago?
Yeah, pretty much.
So. I'm doing a poor job of Googling while I'm arguing, but
let's go back to the text line in the meantime. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Nashville texting in. Imagine essentially a minor league soccer team that just came to Nashville a year and a half ago, not having quite the same interest than the Preds and the Titans. As people learn or watch the team more, they will learn more about soccer, which results are good or bad, and will have expectations. People weren't upset so far because we've been on a good run, but this past loss was definitely the first bad one this year. Can definitely say there are people who are upset with the Miami result, just not as many when the Titans lost to the Bungles. Well, I don't know if it'll ever be as many as when the Titans lose to the Cincinnati Bengals, but the point is well made by Matt there.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, this is where, like, the discussion of what Gentry's talking about. Are we going to get to the point where we're mad at Gary Smith for something that he does
right
in a game, you know?
Well, and some people are there. But are on a grander scale.
But
when
the
get to that point.
But the Preds and look, they came in here and it was Southern City, as I punch a mic. No music today though. For the first few years, it was probably kind of like, hey, it's a great party and okay, and I know like Crispy and Pete are out there like teaching people what icing is and all this stuff, right? So I'm sure it took a while, but. Even at that point, you knew that the best hockey players in the world were coming into this building, right?
Correct.
How much does that matter?
I think it matters.
Because Christian Pulisic is – I am no soccer genius by any means, but he is a mesmerizing talent.
Right.
And he's going to be a big part of the men's national team trying to do special things, and there was no way he was going to play in MLS, right? I mean, that's – So, are you going to get an entire city so caught up in it that they are like we do with John Hines and nitpicking, why is Arvidsson out of the lineup and this and that when you get into a playoff series?
I don't know.
Or why is Vrabel doing this or that with certain decisions?
Yeah. And again, like I'm taking football.
Sure.
It's kind of its own thing.
Like football, even with hockey, like Vingen always talks about like it's just incredible. You guys are breaking down like who looked good in practice
for
a month. There's nothing else like it.
But even on like the Predators front, I would say in the last 5 years, there's been a lot deeper conversation with this team when it comes to lineups and
five years?
A depth chart. Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
I mean,
that's interesting.
I would even say at their peak with Barry Trotz, and Robbie, you tell me if you agree with me, but when like the 11-12 back-to-back seasons of getting past the first round, it wasn't even close to what it was, you know, during the Cup run, immediately after the Cup run, and what it is today.
It's not even the same conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's – there were – the conversation back in those days was really, honestly, a lot of the same conversation we're having right now about Nashville SC, and that was, okay, why are you not talking about the Predators? Why are the Predators not receiving more attention here? And then, like, when you do talk about the Predators, there was your diehard Predators fan base of, oh, we don't like what you're saying, so go somewhere else. Don't talk about the Predators anymore. I mean, there was a lot of that going on, too.
Well, the soccer and hockey crowds are a little bit similar in that I think there's a, you know, there's some, like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, this is our special club. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's a, but I mean, I think the NHL is more, obviously it's more, I mean, it's more watched, it's more widespread. Again, there's a difference in like the leagues relative to the rest of the sport across the world. But I do think there's a little bit of a similarity there. And again, it's like Gentry was saying, the people who got mad at him are not at all who he's talking about. Those people hang on, you know, every moment out there. It's just the casual person. Can you get them in, you know, to knowing who's on the roster and following it and having some passion and wanting to read about it, wanting to listen about it. Because I'd love to know in Atlanta, even when they were putting 70,000 people in that stadium, how much of the mainstream media outlets were doing beyond, wow, this is an incredible atmosphere. These fans are great. What a what a scene. How deep were they digging?
Well, the other thing too, in this comparison between MLS and NHL and here in Nashville, the era that I'm talking about, like 10 years ago, it was a big deal when like Sidney Crosby came in.
Oh, yeah.
Like when the Penguins played in Nashville, it was a big deal when Crosby and the Penguins came to town.
Ovechkin, yeah.
Right. Like what star in the MLS is a draw to that fringe soccer fan like it was to the fringe hockey fan 10 years ago? Like that, like that's not as much of a deal anymore because ticket sales aren't in the conversation with the Predators in terms of selling out the building.
Right.
But like what star in the MLS is going to move the needle in this town of like, all right, this guy's coming to town.
That's a good point. Also, don't ever say the MLS. I've been taught that.
Okay. MLS.
No, but that's a good point. I mean, the whoever's coming in and you're like, oh, we got to see this player. Now, I guarantee you there's some Nashville SC supporters who will rattle off five names probably,
sure.
But it's the wider appeal.
We'll continue this conversation when we come back. Got a lot more of your thoughts to get to on our text line and on our social media platforms as well. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds take on Louisville, the AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. Pregame show with Jeff Hem starts at 5:45 and first pitch is at 6 o'clock. Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Port, did you have a problem with the way I said Cincinnati there?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
I was just checking.
I also didn't have a problem with the Reds bullpen yesterday, so we're all good.
Turns out a 9-run lead is enough. They can protect that lead.
Thank That's God.
At Big League Designs on YouTube, I'm from Nashville. I love Nashville SC. I watch every game, but at this point, if Nashville SC and Liverpool are playing at the same time, I'm going to watch Liverpool. I can feel it changing, but I've followed Liverpool over 10 years, so I'm still a bigger Premier League fan than MLS. Predators fans are watching the progress of 19-year-olds now in Russia. So kind of describing the evolution of what that's been like there.
Kenneth Coleman on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says, soccer is popular for small children, but not for adults to watch. So I guess for people who put ketchup on their brats and drive a tricycle with a beanie on, according to Kenneth.
Eat Reese's Pieces?
Yeah.
Like Ryan Porth?
He says soccer ranks behind pro football, college football, basketball, hockey, baseball, maybe golf, soccer, NASCAR at the bottom. Again, it's the sport and MLS. You have to separate those two things. But to our little argument, Robbie, okay, the AspenProjectPlay.org.
Okay.
And this is interesting. It actually really probably supports your argument better than mine, although I think it's actually – It makes the discussion interesting because here is them 2018.
Okay.
The most per kids ages 6 to 12 regular participation. Basketball number 1, 4.2 million, baseball right after that 4.1 million. Third is soccer, 2.2 million. With tackle football at 800K. And again, I mean, that's so I tried to find like what was it like when I was a kid. So the U.S. Youth Soccer Association and at 800K in the 80s, 86, 87. So, you know, you're tripling it since I was a kid. So that's about, I mean, it just wasn't around. It wasn't readily available. And I lived in Michigan, Virginia, actually living in Saudi Arabia. Soccer, there was no American football. Soccer was hugely popular. We actually we actually hosted some kids, you know, junior high at a soccer tournament in our town. We had to host, you know, they'd stay over the weekend. And these kids were smoking cigarettes, going to the school dance, you know, but they were good at soccer. So,
well, that's the thing, like pretty much everywhere else, soccer's number one. It's not really all that close.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just I think, and it's like American football. So there's participation, which is not good, and like and some of that is definitely the concussion thing, the CTE thing, but. I mean, that participation still does not translate at all to consuming the sport, right? It's not even close.
Right.
I think consuming soccer in this country, I think it's so different than even 10 years ago, certainly than 20 years ago.
Well, I'm not saying it's not different, but in terms of the grand scheme of popularity, watching soccer, like I would still say it comes in behind basketball and comes in behind football and comes in behind baseball and comes in behind hockey here in the country.
I'm not saying it doesn't, but I would disagree that it's not very popular overall. I think very is the word. It's the word that we're contesting. I think it counts as very.
Kevin in Nashville texting in. What a terrible column, scoffing at 20,000 in a pandemic. This is the second season. It will continue to grow the more it's around, especially since they're good. I don't think the Gentry was scoffing at 20,000. I think the point is, your first game here, you're at 69,000 or 60,000 or whatever the number was for Nashville SC and Atlanta United. And obviously that is the first game in history of, you know, the MLS being here in this town. So you realize that that's going to be a big thing. But that goes back to what the point Gentry is making in the column is, Nashville has turned a lot into what is the big thing going on. Whether it's the IndyCar race or the NFL draft. I mean, and again, the NFL is a different part of this. But, I mean, you had over 100,000 people out there for the IndyCar race. You don't want to miss out on something like that. Can you get beyond that if you're Nashville SC and not only have staying power, which I think they have. Like, I think Nashville SC's got staying power. Can you build on that and get your casual sports fans more invested? Like, the Titans didn't have to do that. It's the NFL. And they were really good when they first got here. So they really didn't run into getting casual fans invested until they sucked and had to find a way to get people back in that stadium.
But, of course, well, that's the thing with the Titans, though. And Gentry made this point. I mean, they've had some pretty good teams recently playing pretty big games with empty seats in the thousands and visiting fans of the other team in the thousands in the stadium. So I think some of it is – there's been tremendous growth here, but you got, you know, jokers like me rolling in from Michigan and wherever, and so people coming from all over are like, hell yeah, we're going to go to watch the, you know, the Indy race.
Sure.
Hell yeah, we're going to go out to the draft and have a party, but are you going to latch on to this team when your whole life you were a Patriots or Steelers fan?
Right.
I think that's... Honestly, I think the Preds have had an edge on the Titans, and because some people feel more like this is our team from the start, Same thing with Nashville SC, of course, whereas obviously the Titans have the history in Houston. But even the NFL, and by the way, I was trying to find any ratings comparisons like baseball and soccer, but top 50 sports events on TV in 2020, it's all NFL except for about like six college football games, yeah. And there's just no other sport even, you know, it's a totally different, you know, it's just a totally different world.
Now, to Gentry's point in the column as well, I think the new stadium is going to help in all of this. I think the new stadium is going to help this conversation. I mean, it just is what it is. There is a difference between walking into a soccer-specific stadium and watching your team. And look, I mean, I'll be honest, part of my intrigue to go to Nashville SC games next year, you know, other than just going to games, and I've had a good time every time I've ever been to a Nashville SC game, but part of my intrigue really for going next year is going to be the stadium and what it's like and what it looks like. That's going to be a cool place to be next year in that part of town and seeing what that's like over there. Like, I think the stadium itself is going to attract some new fans, and then it's on the team, you know, to keep those fans that way. But I think the stadium is absolutely going to help them in this conversation. I think you can establish and maybe attract more casual sports fans with your own stadium rather than, you know, trying to fill up the lower bowl of Nissan Stadium.
Oh, it'll be great. Yeah. No, it'll be a great scene, and I think it's the perfect size, and it'll be a great atmosphere. Again, they have a good team. I mean, from the perspective of the club and the atmosphere around the club and the support that you feel in the city, and you're talking about, you know, you're talking about changing another part of the city too, it's going to be fantastic. I still don't know if that means then a large group of people are going to demand, you know, that we talk more about it, that there's more written about it, that they want to follow the transactions and the things like that, like passionate fans do who follow sports teams. I don't know. I mean, I have my doubts. And again, I think the product's incredible. I think it's not just the atmosphere of the fans. I think the games are great. And they're really entertaining, and these are high-level athletes, super hardcore soccer people. And I've heard them say it, like, it's just, you know, that's just, there's a, I watch my Premier League team, it's different. And that's a hurdle that you have to get over. Again, MLS, I think, has closed the gap, but they're never going to, I don't think, flip it around and have the best players in the world playing in this league.
Real quickly, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kathy, who wants to weigh in. Kathy, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great, thank you. How are you doing?
Good. I'll give you my perspective on the MLS. I was never somebody that watched soccer. I never paid any attention to it. You know, I knew about it. I knew, you know, back in my day, Pele was the most the old I am. But when the MLS or when the soccer team first came here, I said, you know what, I'm going to support the local team. The tickets weren't that much money. So I bought season tickets when they played at First Tennessee. So I went out, and I actually started enjoying it. It was fun. The atmosphere was fun. Well, now I'm really engaged in it because I watch them on TV. I pay attention. I follow. But what I really, really have enjoyed is everybody that sits around me. It's like a whole family that sits around me. And they're from Guatemala and Mexico. And I really have enjoyed the cultural aspect of getting to know these folks, because they really are into soccer. And so they've been teaching me things and teaching me about it, about the game and why certain things happen. You know, I totally don't understand the whole offside thing. And so they've been explaining all of that to me. So for me, the environment that it's creating there with all the people and the different cultural diversity that we have at a soccer game as opposed to maybe a football game or a hockey game or whatever, is very, very, that gets me more interested than anything. I don't watch the NBA. I haven't watched them since Allen Iverson complained about wearing khakis to practice. So I just really enjoy everything about the soccer and the entertainment, the play on the field and things like that, and learning about this sport.
Hey, thanks for the call, Kathy. We appreciate it. I mean, I think if you've been to a soccer game, like I don't think I've met anyone that's gone to the game and not had a good time. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but I've never had a conversation with somebody that's been to a Nashville SC game, and they said, you know what, that wasn't fun. I didn't enjoy that. I won't be back.
No, and great points made by Kathy, although she sounded a bit like Max Headroom there on the phone connection. But, no, really good points about the experience, and it is. It's a great, like, you know, melting pot of people. Again, I think the product's great for my untrained eye. I mean, I'm a travel soccer dad, but that doesn't really qualify me for much. And then it's just a matter of, okay, so you love going, you're going to buy season tickets and all that. Now, are you obsessed with this team all the time? Because that's what it is to be a fan. By the way, on our little argument here, so a 2017 Gallup poll, quickly, okay, 9% of Americans said baseball's their favorite sport, 7% said soccer is their favorite sport. So, I mean, it's there's no way that was the case 10 years earlier. Hockey, 3.8%. But again, that's soccer. That's not MLS.
Right. When we come back, it's time for NSC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, to guess the goal scorer for Nashville SC against DC United coming up this Sunday. If you get it right, you'll win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
It's hooked in and headed in! Delirium! Yonder Cadiz!
Who's going to find the back of the net in the upcoming Nashville SC match? Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click for the match and welcome a listener to do the same. NSC Pick to Click on ESPN 1025 The Game is brought to you by Camarena Tequila.
And it is that time of the week, time for NSC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila here on Robbie and Rex Road. Nashville SC in action coming up on Sunday against DC United. And we have a standings update in our NSC Pick to Click competition. The listeners now with four correct answers for the listeners in this competition. Joe Rex Road remains at one. Michelle Knezovic at one. Ryan Porth and Robbie Stanley still at zero.
We're trying.
And the competition.
We are putting forth our best effort.
Yeah, we are.
Soccer and hockey performances are consistent, at least.
Yeah, it's
hey,
pretty trash, as the kids would say, going
it's,
on
it's
right
so
here.
It's so Reese's Pieces of you guys.
It's, wow.
Trash number.
Yeah, it's not very good. The listeners maybe, already with an insurmountable lead. But today, Mitch is going to try to add to that. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mitch from Nashville, who is today's participant in NSC Pick to Click. Mitch, what's going on? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you.
So, Mitch, your pick to click, your goal scorer for Nashville SC this weekend against DC United, who you got?
I want to say Ake Loba, but I'm going to go with CJ Sapong.
That's a pretty good pick as of late. CJ Sapong. Ryan Porth is disgusted. You've taken his pick away from him. So well done, Mitch.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. So Mitch going with CJ Sapong, who, you know, the last time a listener selected CJ Sapong was last week, and he scored. And that is now giving the listeners a 4-1-1-0-0 lead in this competition. I got all of it right.
4-1-1-0-0.
So CJ Sapong off the board. Ryan Porth, you are up first today.
Am I?
In the competition. Yes, you are.
Mukhtar. Give me Hani Mukhtar.
All right.
My guy.
There you go. Joe Rexrode. Mukhtar off the board. Sapong off the board.
Leal. Why did that make Porth laugh?
You're just very quick there. Randall Leal selected as well.
What was funny about that?
Just the entire...
Leal.
And then you just put your... You know, you're just like, well, you know.
Leal out. I have no analysis to add. Okay?
Give me Ake Loba. He is going to score, and I'm going to be the one that gets it right. Give me Ake Loba in this competition. And today is I'm calling my shot. Add it to my Call Your Shot Friday. This is the time.
All right.
Now is the time for Ake Loba. He finds the back of the net on Sunday against DC United.
You have really been, you know, waiting for him to get it done.
I have. Now, I've not been going there consistently as of late. But he's getting a little bit more playing time.
You've been talking about him a lot, though. Yeah. I feel like you've been putting too much pressure on him.
Maybe so, but the pressure's going to get ramped up. It's time for him to score.
It's time.
So that is today's
edition
of NSC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. Good luck, Porth. Hopefully we can get on the board this weekend. It'd be great if all of us got on the board.
Well, you know, I will be there Sunday night, and if Mukhtar scores, I'm going to be thrilled.
Sounds like it. All right.
More analysis, please.
Yes. So with
he is going to head in across.
All right.
And he's going to score a goal.
All right. Well, if he heads one in there, yes, he will score. So
that was good. That's how that works. Solid.
Very well done.
A
sideline.
He'll collect, or he'll collect a through pass.
Yes, a through pass, as Ryan Porth is eloquently
and
called.
And go in on a breakaway and put the biscuit in the basket.
There you go.
No one's ever said biscuit in the basket for soccer
game ever.
No one's ever said that.
Now they have.
Now they have.
Now they've added it to the table.
First meld, time for everything.
Let's meld hockey and soccer together.
Ryan Porth?
Michelle's going with Luke Hawkinson.
All right, there you go. Hawkinson, the selection by Michelle.
Okay.
Ryan Porth, have you seen the news? A former Tennessee Titan has hung it up, has called it a career.
A legend at blocking people on Twitter.
Big time.
Deion Lewis.
Deion Lewis, after 10 years in the league.
Hanging it up.
Hanging it up. Calling it a career in the NFL.
He had that one good year.
So if I can't find him, if I can't find him on Twitter, that means he's blocked me. Is that right?
That is correct.
Dang, Deion. You know what happened?
Blocked me as well.
You know what happened with Deion Lewis?
I've never spoken to him.
Yeah, it was weird. As soon as Derrick Henry became awesome, Deion Lewis hated us. It's like, it's not our fault that, like, Derrick Henry is incredible, man. What, I mean, it's not even really an insult on you.
So although we could do
so
that.
That's when he started blocking.
Oh, yeah. Very
I mean,
well done.
And the thing is, it's not even like he ever really got criticized. It was just like, well, I mean, sometimes he'd ask the question, so now that Derrick Henry is like the best running back ever, how's your life going? I mean, but there was no reason for him to be angry. When they played the Saints a couple years ago, I decided to do, for whatever reason, go to a bar with Brennan and do a column about that, about the fans watching the other game, the Jets-Steelers game. And in that column, Brennan said Deion Lewis is trash. Now, maybe that got me blocked. And I told him, no one in the NFL is trash.
Yeah, you came to his defense.
Well, yeah. Anybody even close to this league is not trash.
Exactly.
Justin Hunter was trash.
No, even Justin Hunter was not trash. It's very hard to be
a
professional athlete.
Justin Hunter could not he could not catch trash if he jumped into a garbage bin somewhere.
Well said again.
So if he
can't catch a cold in January. He can't catch anything.
What about in Knoxville?
Can't hit water from a boat.
Exactly.
There you go.
He was good in Knoxville.
He couldn't catch water. He jumped off a boat and landed in the water. He couldn't catch it.
Very well done by Ryan Porth. Sterling analysis by Ryan Porth at the end of the show. Have fun tonight. Hope everybody has a good weekend.
Dog water.
We'll be back to talk about the Titans on Monday in their preseason game tonight against Atlanta. That does it for us. Darren Donick and Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.